stand and sing this morning. Here we are in your presence, lifting holy hands to you. Here him this morning as you sing it again. Hallelujah. Here we are in your presence, Lord, lifting holy hands to Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Praise His name this morning. I'm glad He's my Lord this morning. Hallelujah. He's our hope today, our only hope. He's our trust and He's our strength. And He's the one that we're looking for to return one day soon. Amen. Let's sing that song, Give Me Jesus, in the morning when I rise. Amen. Praise His name this morning. Praise the Lord. You love Him, saints. Amen. Let's sing this song. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. Give me Jesus. This morning. Welcome to the service today. Good to see each one. Just hope everyone come expecting this morning and believing that God will move and He will be in our midst this morning. And just our desire that we come and worship and give Him praise. Let's sing one more song before we take our prayer request. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. It's either C or B flat. I don't remember exactly. Go down to B flat.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. The mansion's bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, a sigh when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Shout victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Heaven glory will the doors of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. So onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will be old. Sing the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Give Him another good hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Glory to His name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We also want to welcome our visitors this morning. God bless you. Good to have you with us. Always glad to see visitors come in. And those listening by way of internet, we welcome you and listening this morning. And today we have Brother Chisholm visiting with us and his family. Good to have them today, and Brother Chisholm will be bringing the word today while our pastor's away. Amen. I'm gonna ask Brother Larry if he'll come this morning. I only have one request this morning. It says several of my friends has requested prayer. Please remember them, and that's from Brother Roger Gibbs. So he knows who they are, and God knows who they are. So let's remember this request. Remember my wife's nephew, Billy Fleming, has liver cancer, and went to see him yesterday, and he needs our prayers, and it's only in God's hands, and you know, and whatever He sees fit to do, so we just trust Him this morning. Amen. Brother Larry, if you'd come. Maybe you have an unspoken request this morning by an uplifted hand. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank You for another day You've given us, Lord. You woke us up this morning, Lord, and give us another life to serve You, Lord. And we just thank You for coming among the saints today, Lord. And we've heard the request that was given, Lord, and we just plead the blood because that's what the Bible said to do, Lord. And we believe every word that the prophet preached and the word that was written in the Bible, Lord. And we just accept it and believe it. That's all. Only thing we can do, Lord, and we just ask You to remember my wife, Lord, and touch her and so she can get her surgery and get this behind her, Lord. And we just thank You for Brother Chisholm to come today, Lord, and just to touch him and on his lips and on our ears. Whatever the Lord gives him on his heart, Lord, just speak it out. Correct us, Lord, in Your word. And bless our pastors. Where he may be traveling, keep him safe, Lord, and bring him back to the church, Lord. Just bless the whole family that's gone. Everyone's gone today, Lord, is traveling. Just be with them. We give You praise and glory for it all, because in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shake hands this morning as you're being seated. Sing hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. My heart sings His praise again. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Let's sing it again now. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. You come sing for us this morning. Brother Chisholm's daughter, I know she sings, and she's coming to sing for us this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord.
You deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship as I bless Your holy name. You deserve the you do me.
the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Thank you, Sister Faith. Very beautiful song. Amen. I know you enjoyed that. Amen. Let's stand this morning as our ushers come. I have one announcement as they come. Sister Laura's Sunday school class will meet at 4 p.m. today. So remember that, 4 p.m. today for Sister Laura's Sunday school class. Brother Mike, if you would pray over the offering this morning. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing that song, Hosanna, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Glory, glory to His name. He lives and reigns forevermore. Glory. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Jehovah Jireh is His name, for He provided all my need. Jehovah Jireh is His name, for He provided all my need. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. What was that song? Go ahead. Amen. We're going to sing this song as Brother Chisholm comes this morning. Glad to have Brother Chisholm and his family with us. And we just want to get behind him. Pull, push, or whatever we need to do. And let God have His way this morning. Now let's sing this as Brother Chisholm comes. I have a Maker. He formed my heart before even time. My life was in His hands. He knows my name.
That he knows my name. Let's sing that verse again. He knows my name. Are you happy to know that he knows your name? He knows. My thoughts. Morning. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm okay. Amen. To greet you this morning. We bring you greeted from Life Tabernacle. Amen. If you will, we just bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, it's such an honor just to be here this morning in the quietness of your Holy Spirit. We know that you're here, Lord, because your people has such an atmosphere, oh God. Lord, we want to believe that you could touch each heart. Go into each bedroom. Touch every life this morning. So, Father, there's many needs here this morning, God. I just pray, God, that you'll meet all the needs this morning. Bless us, Lord. And as we leave this place, Lord, we could truly say, did not our heart burn within us as he taught with us along the way. Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May you bless us, Lord, as we approach the Word of God. Amen. While you're standing, we just grab our Bibles. We thank God. Always a blessing to be here. Amen. Amen. This morning. Amen. Always a blessing. Amen. I had another song, but we, nevertheless, we're going to follow the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many of you desire that we follow
Amen. The Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. And I'm excited this morning. Amen. To see you all this morning. Amen. If you will, pardon me. We just grab our Bibles, as I said. We turn to the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter. And we read from Galatians 5. First, we turn to Luke, the 15th chapter. Pardon me this morning. Amen. You love him this morning?
Amen.
Amen. God is good?
Amen.
And he's good all the time. Amen. Why don't you look to your neighbor and say, it's good to see you in church. Meet it from your heart. It's good to see you in church. You could have been somewhere else this morning. You could have been on drugs. You think about it. Your mind could have been lost. You could have been in the system worshiping creeds and dogmas of man. But here are you in the presence of the Almighty God. And you ought to be one of the most happiest people to ever walk on the earth, knowing that soon when our Lord come, he'll summons us up. But we ought to be happy. There shouldn't be a dull moment. There shouldn't be sadness. Amen. When you come into church, you ought to be happy and say, if we could see the signs of the time, we'll know we are getting so close, the Lord going to summons us up. And we know we're living in time. Why? Because there's such a rage and there's such a fight. Amen. Man, so we just love the Lord. Amen. Amen. I just love the Lord. Amen. You love him with me? Amen. Luke, the 15th chapter, and we read from the 8th verse. And it reads, Either what woman hath 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she found it. Listen, seek diligently. She's concerned. She's not giving up. And when she has found it, she calleth her friend. Is it that important that you need to call your friend and her neighbors? You mean to say she need to go tell her neighbors down the street that she found that corn? Together saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Amen. Galatians, the 5th chapter, and verse 22. Say it by saying amen. Have it by saying amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Amen. One more scripture. Amen. Galatians. Pardon me. 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And we'll let you be seated. Second Corinthians 13 chapter. I love this verse so much where Apostle Paul says here. And sometimes I have to remind myself of this verse. I love it so well. Second Corinthians, the 13th chapter in the 5th verse. Are we there by saying amen? Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. What is faith? Faith is a revelation. Prove your own self. 99 and 9/10 of people don't do that. They always try to watch someone else or try to prove somewhere else. But that ain't what Paul said. He said, prove your own self. Know ye not your own self. And it is so easy to try to watch somebody else, try to see how this brother acting, or see he's going to be on time, or how he's acting with his wife. But that ain't what Paul said. He said, know ye your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you. Don't. It's good to know that he's in my pastor. It's good to know he's in the deacons. But you need to know, is he in you?
except you be reprobate. Amen. Let us just bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the reading of your word. Now, Father, may it be sanctified to our soul. This we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Bless the Lord. Amen. My thought this morning, amen, is the second coming of our Lord. Amen. The second coming of our Lord. And I have something I need to read here. Amen. I just misplace it, but just pardon with me. Amen. The second coming of our Lord. How many of you believe that we are living in that hour this morning? Amen. Such an hour and a time that we are living in. Brother Andy, I don't know if I left that book in the back. It's talking about the coming of the Lord. Amen. We may have to just go right ahead. Amen. So how many of you believe that we are living in that time? The coming of the Lord. Amen. And we should be on fire for the Lord. Amen. Praise the Almighty God. You know, the enemy just working. I won't say everything to the enemy. Maybe the Lord just want me to preach by inspiration. Amen. But we got it in our heart. But, you know, the coming of the Lord is so important. Amen. Especially his second coming. No, that's not the one, Brother Andy. It's got on there the second coming. Just look at my briefcase. There's nothing in there I have to hide. Amen. Just, amen, praise the Lord. I definitely want to read that. And I'm sure the enemy don't want me to read it. And I know it'd be a blessing this morning. Amen. You just pray with us. And you know, Satan is a prince in the power of the air. And a lot of time he don't want things to be said. But I want to tell on the devil this morning. See, Satan, there's two books that Satan hates. He hates Genesis because Genesis show his beginning. See, he don't want you to know how he worked. He don't want you to know how he plants seeds. He don't want you to know that. And he definitely don't want you to know his end. See, Satan ever found out that you know that he's just a bluff. And Satan knows that you know that him and the false prophet will be thrown into the lake of fire. Then when we begin to realize those things, we realize that, amen, that we have the power to Satan answer. And that's one thing this morning, Church of the Living God, we just appreciate the Lord. I don't know where I left that book this morning, but honey, I'm going to have to read that this morning. I know you saying, honey, go ahead. Amen. But we just got to have that book. I almost want Brother Andy to just bring my whole briefcase out. We got to share that with you this morning. Amen. I don't know. But, amen. Nevertheless, we live in such a crucial hour. We live in a moment of time that the coming of the Lord. And believe it or not, there's a coming of the Lord before the rapture. Can the church go with me on that? There's a coming of the Lord. Maybe it's in my other, I got so many here. But then, pardon me, it's a book about like this, but it's got on this coming of the Lord. Maybe it's in the Bergen one. I'm not sure. But y'all pardon me this morning. Will you forgive me this morning? Amen. Normally, I don't do this. And Brother Andy, I believe I have it here. Pardon me. I got it, Brother Andy. You know, when the Bible says he hid it from the wise and the prudent and he revealed it to babe. I'm telling you, God can hide things from the wise man. And you're privileged people this morning. Amen. That the great theologians can't see the very simplicity of the gospel, amen, of Jesus Christ. So we just appreciate it. Brother, I appreciate you searched diligently. I don't know what was going through your mind, but you probably said, Lord, help me to find it. And you're just searching, you're looking. And that's the way the people of God need to be. You need to not quit. I don't know if you pick up one, you look. I don't know if you look over here. I don't know if you look in the pastor's dresser drawer or his desk. but you seek. And that's the way we should be. We should seek diligently until I've found it. Lord, I've lost something and I must found it. Something is missing. I've lost that joy. I lost that peace. I don't have that peace that I used to have especially when the year 2000 was coming in. Oh man, I had such joy. Did you really have joy? Well, where is that peace now? Where is that meekness now? And we see how the church world, amen, is such in a condition, amen. And the prophet of God said now, he said now, that's many seen very, he's an old scripture for the second coming of Christ, but it speak of the second coming of Christ. There's nothing so important as the coming of the Lord Jesus, for he does not come. If he does not come, we be found fault witness. Our dead that is in the graves will perish, and there is no hope left for us if Jesus doesn't come visible the second time. And as we said, there's a coming of the Lord before the rapture. And the world don't realize that. You are blessed people. That ought to encourage you. We're not looking for him, but he's here. You know, the prophet of God preached a message. When the Lord cometh, shall he found faith? He brought faith. What is keeping you going in such a hour of distress? Nation against nation. Wars everywhere. Turmoils and distress. Just the other day, as we sitting here this morning, I don't know what's on your mind, but as we sitting here this morning, there are mothers today are preparing for their children's funeral. You think about it. What it was in Houston? Some young man was anointed by Satan to go into our school home. Where is safety now? Somebody say in the church. Not even in the church anymore. So you don't know. Sometimes I sit in the break room on my job and people come in. I don't know what's on their mind. People are distressed. People are losing their mind. People are committing suicide. And sometimes I sit in my break room, Brother Andy, and sometimes people walk in and I just, in my mind, I said, what if they would pull out a gun? What if they start shooting? You know, what's on their mind? Men's going through distress with their wife, going through a divorce, or losing so many amount of money. They're losing their mind. They're losing their job. What was on that young man's mind when he decided to? What anointed him to? We know it was the devil. We have one enemy this morning. It's not your brother. It's not your sister. But it's that old devil. And I don't know why. I think this morning, I've been to a birthday party yesterday, and a sister turned 70 years old, and she got up and said, I only have one enemy, and that is the devil. I said, oh my. So, but Andy, why we can't look at it that way? Why you look at your brother in such a way? Why you don't want to sit beside your sister? Why you don't want to call that brother anymore? It's nothing but the old devil. And if we will always place it back on the devil, then we have less problems. You'll be flexible in the spirit. You won't let things harm you. But that young man walked into that schoolhouse, and all of a sudden, you probably heard more, but I heard one girl was screaming, and she said she ran for her life. What if that was you? What if that was at your college? What if that would be in your church? You'd be on the 6 o'clock news tonight and say, yes, I ran just as hard as I could. As soon as I walk on the outside, I didn't know the brother. I didn't know that was on his mind. He looked like he was innocent. You don't know what's on people's mind anymore. I'll tell you what's on my mind. It's the coming of the Lord. One gentleman said when he ran to the door, he said there was blood all on the door. Just think about it. That was some mother's daughter. That was some mother's son. And sometimes we can sit here so ease and just feel relaxed because we in church. But as I said, that mother, that father, Oh, I'm telling you, if that were me and I lost my child like that, how would I feel toward that gunman? Then it got to a place after he killed all those people. Amen. When he come to himself, amen, and you said that he didn't have enough courage to commit suicide after he took innocent lives. What about in the Charleston school? Brother Brandon said in the end time, people will go insane. Are we here? Insanity. The world will go in such a perplex. I think about in Charleston when the young man went into that church, not too far from me, Brother Andy, just a few miles up the road, about 2 hours away, young man came into the church. A young white boy come into a black church. And I can imagine if that were me and I saw a young white man come in, I would feel in my heart, Lord, we're touching because we are bouquets of roses. It's good to see when blacks and white can come together. When we go to heaven, there's going to be a bouquet of roses. There ain't going to be the white, the Hispanic over there. No, we're going to be one. If heaven would be a place where you got this group over here or the whites over there and the black over there, I don't want to go. If heaven got any type of prejudice, I don't want to go. Much as I've been longing for it, much as I've been crying for it, if heaven got any envy and strife and malice, I don't want to go. Let me stay out here on this Satan eater. But I know heaven going to be a beautiful place. But Brother Andy, think about if that was me. Brother Keith, how would I feel if I was up preaching and a young white boy would walk into a black church or a black community? I would feel, oh my, we are getting across. And that young man sat there for a moment. I don't know what was in his mind. Should I or should I not? But because that old devil was so strong in his life, allowed that man to sit there for a moment. Then he got up, he began to open fire. What is it? We're at the end time. Perplexed against nations. We see our world's in trouble, church. Our government. There's no hope no more but for the coming of the Lord. I think we live in a time we should really enjoy church. Man, you ought to be happy. As David said, let us go into the house. You ought to be happy to come in church. Oh, my. Brother Andy, I don't know what it feels like to be in church where I can feel the presence of the Lord. Because many churches, you don't even feel the presence of the Lord anymore. It's so cold. You almost got to bring a pickaxe just to break through to somebody to say amen. But I thank God there's no governor can hold me down this morning from worshiping my God. Amen. They, I don't care who watched me. I don't care who watched at me drop tears. I don't care. I'm in the presence of my Lord. And I know we are soon, brother. We're getting ready to leave here. We're getting ready to leave here. Such a coldness is beginning to come over the church. People hard. Are getting cold. Do you see it everywhere? People losing their minds. People are going insane. Some of our black sisters, you know, a lot of us weren't fortunate enough to grow long, beautiful hair like you sisters have. But it's the thing how sometimes a black sister, they could cut their long, beautiful, God-given hair off. Cut it off. Just as short as Brother Andy or short as mine. And a few weeks later, they go to the store and buy a long piece. What is that? Something ain't right. You spend a time in the construction. Rugged guys, tattoos all on them. Most times, those are the ones with broken teeth, scars all in the face. One leg, fingers missing, rugged. But the days and time that we are living in, so many young people tattooed. Now, if you got one, so be it. But don't go and get one. Don't put mark on your body. You're already marked. I'm a Christian. That's the mark that I carry. But you look this morning, I was just sitting at the table, this young girl saying such awful words to come out of her mouth. No respect or nothing. Knowing that I'm a minister, no respect, talking filthy. And people laughing and thinking that funny. Why? Why, oh America? Oh, what's hanging, Church of the Living God? Amen. What's to America, this God-fearing country? The wrath of God is hanging over this country by a rotten thread. Listen to what I just said. The wrath of God is hanging over this country like a rotten thread. And any moment, God could say, come on home, my bride. Look at it, Church. Our prophet is gone, but he told us. Now, I'm not intending to hold you long. I want to talk about the second coming of the Lord. Our prophet told us, amen. He said, don't worry about communism. He said, but watch what? Russia. The king of the north. And sometimes people, they look at those things and they're still at ease and miss church when you get ready and let other things. The word of God shall be the most important thing there is. Amen. You should love the word of God. You should love the word of God. Nothing shall come. When you start getting to a place, you start putting something before the word, there's problems. When you start putting your family before the word, something is wrong. When you start putting your wife before the word, something is wrong. When you start putting social clubs and parties before you throw the word, something is wrong. When we should be in church, when we outside to activities or going somewhere, the word is the uttermost. Can the church say amen? Oh my, the coming of the Lord, the rapture. Oh my, that's what we've been longing for. Oh my, how many are loving this morning? But our Christian religion is based solely upon the death, burial, and the resurrection of the second coming of our Lord. There are too many ways of seeing it by the light of the scripture. There's not one hope left for the Christian, for the church outside of the second coming of the Lord. The world is in its wild panoramic condition. It has completely out of control. Of every man-made organization in the world, kings cannot hold their subjects no more. Neither can dictators hold their subjects anymore. Democrats can't hold their subjects anymore. And there is no hope left but the second coming of the Lord. Oh my. I kind of think how that the disciples in Matthew 24, they asked Jesus a question as he sat upon the mountain of Olives. They asked him, when shall be the sign of the coming and what shall be the end of the world? And Jesus began to tell them how one stone shall be left upon another. He began to tell them how there will be wars and rumors of wars. Are we there yet? Pestilence. And along with that, we see, I don't care how much things come and shake America, people still is at ease. What is going to take? I remember some years ago, I was working on a construction site, working on Myrtle Beach on a high rise. And as we was up about 20 stories up in the air, I could look down the shore, the beach, amen. And I could see people out there in the water just having a good time. And it's almost like, but I thank God for the bride. She got her eyes on the coming of the Lord. But I watched those people out there out there swim and had fun and whoopee, this is fun, and bathing and laying in the sun. And someone way out there just swimming and surfing and amen. And all of a sudden, you can look from far up a distance. You can see the sharks that was out there. But I was up so high and I could see the sharks as they began to get closer. And all of a sudden, I saw a rescue team begin to rush down the shore. And I began to find out one of the shot appetite, one of the victim leg, just took it completely off. And you can see down the whole shore of the beach, people was coming out of the water. People was coming out of the water because the word got around, sharks is in the water. See, they didn't know whether sharks in their place or where it was at. Only thing they knew, the sharks are in the water. And that's the way people should feel. The coming of the Lord is at hand. But you know what, church? This is one of the numerical things that when the people got out of the water, it wasn't 30 minutes. They were right back out there again. Oh, my. And I look at America. All the things that's happened in this country, how God began to send warning after warning. I was just looking something the other day on YouTube. This volcano that is in Hawaii, how there's all these ashes and corruption and earthquakes, and there's people out there playing golf like nothing ever happened. Buildings are burning down. Homes are being destroyed. And people are playing golf like there's nothing never ever happened. And I look at the church world today. Sometimes people come to church. It's more than just singing. I'm going to tell you something. I feel in my heart this morning. Can I just preach this morning? The hour is late. I think people need to examine themselves. Can I follow him? He's going here. I'm following the Lord, okay? Now, I'm not a preacher to be bought. I follow him. Now, I'm going to say something. People need to examine themselves. Check their Holy Ghost. Make sure that you got what it takes. Make sure it's easy. You know, I don't care if the pastor pour oil on you every Sunday. I don't care if you feel something running down your spinal cord. Say, oh, pastor, I don't even care. You cry. Somebody said you shouldn't be preaching this in a message church. You'll be surprised how people are sitting in the message church, only have a form of godliness, but they're not. And they're looking so pretty, looking so nice, Brother Andy, in church. But some people are full up with it. Oh, God, help me. I'm talking to me, too, this morning. Lord, help me to be a better husband. Lord, help me to be a better wife. But then, Brother Keith, sometime I examine myself. Lord, do I have what it take? Can I treat this young man like I would treat this black young man here? Will I go to his rescue? Or will I go to him? Somebody said you need to go to your own race. There's only one race, and it's the human race. So if you got that kind of attitude, you better examine yourself. You lost a pearl. And back in those days, those women, those Palestinian women, that the pearl that she lost wasn't a wedding band. They didn't wear wedding bands. There was something that they had in the hair, and they had 10 different coins in it. And the prophet of God, if you go, I'm not going to go to it now. I think I read out of Galatians where he talked about faith, virtue, love. But what happened was she lost one of her coins. And when she realized that she lost one of her coins, it must have was. The prophet of God said it was late in the afternoon when she found out that one of her coins was missing. You know, I think about my wife and I when we first got married 35 years ago. Just before we got married, we was engaged and young couple, and they didn't make a lot of money. I was working out of college. And we walked into this jewelry store in the mall. And to our surprise, we were just walking as young couple, just as happy as we could be and still happy. I'm walking with her. She's just as smiling, just as pretty as she could be. Amen. And I still love her the same way. And as we begin to walk, I said, honey, let's look at some rings. Brother Andy, when I walked over to look at the rings, and my God, the price that I saw on the ring. My God, you mean to say, what? $4,000. I was barely making $500 a month. $4,000. So when I looked at it, the lady walked up. You know, you got, when you're in Rome, you got to act like you're in Rome. So we try to act like we got a little something. You know what I'm saying? So the lady said, would you like to have one? And I look at that price. I told my wife, I said, look at that price over there. $3,000, $4,000. I said, honey, how you like this one? My wife was choking up. She said, yeah, that is nice. And I'm shaking like, I got to find a way out of here. Ain't no way I could get that. And I said, man, but let us just keep shopping around. Just keep shopping around. But what if I would bought my wife $500 a month? I bring home a month. And I borrowed the money, went in debt to buy my wife a ring. In today's I would buy my wife a ring. But back in those days, the Palestinian women, they wore something on their head, and they had those 10 pearls in, those virtue. And then lose one. What if I would spend $3,500, brother, and $4,000 on a ring for my wife? And she gone all day, washing dishes, cleaning the house, sitting talking with her neighbors. One day, she did something and took her ring off. Just forgot about it. And I think the day when, back in those days and today, when a woman wears a ring, it shows that she's taken. And the woman's type to church. See, we're wearing a ring now. It's a revealed word of the hour. See, we can't be taken by a denomination. I don't care what denomination, what Pentecostal come around. What the first thing you'll say? I've been taken. I'm married to Christ. I'm sorry, Miss Baptist. You might come with your creeds, or Miss Pentecost. You may come with your creeds, but I'm married to the revealed word of the hour. But that lady went along all day, and she found out that she lost one of her pearls. And you may look at it and say, well, what's so important about a pearl? It had a lot of sentimental value to it. My wife just lost a ring. I just paid $4,000 for her, and she lost it. I remember when my last year in school, I got my high school ring. And boy, it was pretty blue, but then, it was beautiful blue. And I remember young man walking through the church with my ring on. I would love to get up and sing. I always hold a microphone. I know y'all don't show off sometimes, but I hold a microphone with that hand, and that ring just began to glister. And I could see folks' mouth just go, like, my. And I just walk around with that beautiful ring. And see, like, back then I was young, and I would take up offering, and folks just looking at my ring, and I was proud of that ring. See, proud is a haunted spirit before a fall. I was proud, amen, to show that ring. And on this morning, I want to ask you this morning, are you proud to be walking around, to display to the world, look at me this morning, I am Jesus Christ on the earth again. And as I walked through the church having that new ring, and I remember folk used to look and say, wow, your ring. I said, yeah, I just got it the other day and barely could pay for it. My father left, divorced mom, and mom had to struggle, and somehow we got enough money to buy a high school ring. When I graduated, had to borrow a pair of shoes to graduate with. So it was very precious to have a high school ring. And it signified that I was a senior. I was getting ready to graduate. It was such an honor. This thing would mean a lot to me because I was a senior of Mullins High School. I wasn't a freshman, but I was a senior. And senior had privilege. Only thing you had to do is walk around with that ring. They'll know you are about to be graduate with honor. But you know what? One day, I went, and long story short, I dropped my ring. Somehow I was washing my hands and flushed the commode, if y'all don't mind me saying it. And as soon as I pulled the lever, I heard something go, Click, 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 click. Oh, no. Oh, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, no. Lord, no. No. It can't be. Oh, oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, no. And those jeans that I had only had like four sets of pockets. And I searched diligently. I searched that pocket most about 10 times. I searched and I searched. And I looked. I said, oh, no. No way, but then I lost my high school ring. Now, what am I going to do when I get ready to walk across the church aisle to show my ring and to everybody know that I'm going to graduate? I lost my ring. Brother, I search and I pick up the commode and I look up under the commode and I turn it over. That day I become a plumber. I pick up the commode and I look under the commode and I look down in the sewer and I almost wanted to put my hand down in there. So I got to find my ring. I'm going to make it. I got to have that ring. I searched diligently. I put the commode back down. I said, maybe I'll search again. Maybe it clogged up in there. I went and got the plunge and I plunged diligently. I got to have my ring. I got to have my ring. My ring is gone. What am I going to do when I go to school? I search. Mom said, Isaiah, you're not going to school. I said, I got to a place I didn't even care. I want to quit school. I lost my ring. I wonder how you feel if you lost that relationship. Do you feel like quitting? It was time for me. When I was going to school, I had to go to vocation. I got to a place. I lost my ring. As I was walking to school, I saw the activity bus was waiting. I got to a place I didn't even care if the bus left me. I lost my ring. I lost joy. Oh, peace, man. My world was shook up. It's gone. Had the rings in 4 days. 4 days. Got it on a Friday, and the next week it was gone. How they going to know I'm a senior? You know? Even when we walk into the cafeteria, when all the students in there, the sophomore, the whatever class in there, being a senior, you could come in 10 minutes late. I don't care how long the line is. We could show that ring and walk around everybody. And sometimes people say, where are you going? I say, and I always be real small. But once I show that ring, they had to let me by because I was a senior. So that ring means a lot to me. But Church of the Living God, I'm trying to say something. It's in a funny way, but I'm trying to tell you, I lost something that was very valuable to me. My joy. I got to the bus, and I could see the bus. All of a sudden, somebody saw me walking. And you think I was in a hurry? I was taking my time. I'm saying to myself, leave me. Leave me. I don't want to ride the bus. I want to quit school. I was hoping the bus driver was asleep, but they waited on me. I didn't want to get on that bus. I didn't want to talk to nobody. I wondered, did you lose your ring? Have you got to a place now you don't even want to talk to nobody? You don't hardly want fellowship anymore. Oh, my. Did you lost your joy? But I lost my joy that day. And I remember I got on the bus. I said, Lord, I can't believe this. And believe it or not, when I got back home, where do you think that I go? Anybody know? Huh? Back in the bathroom. I got to find that ring. I got to find that ring. Maybe it's in there. And you know what I did? I took the commode up again, brother, and searching again, looking in my same pocket again. And for months, I kept searching, hoping somehow my ring. But no, I heard that ring when it fell in that commode, when the water just sucked it in. Well, I'm going to ask you this morning, did you lose your joy? Did you lose your excitement to come to church? The church really means anything to you? You know, I've been hearing my brother, the pastor preached the coming of the Lord. My son told me the year 2000 was coming in. People was all excited because they felt like Oh my, the Lord is getting ready to come. And look at us. We 18 years on this side of 2000. How much longer do we have? But I tell you what, my brother and sister, if we take another 5 years, I love him that much more. Why? Because I know that God cannot lie. God made me a promise, and I'm going to stay with God's word. And I believe he's coming. And whatever joy that I lost, sister Glory, whatever joy, whatever peace, I'm going to look because my husband is coming back. And those Palestinian women, once they lost a pearl, or they lose a part out of their diamonds or what have you, they'll be taken before the priests. And the priests, whatever pearl was lost, and when that husband come home, he would take that wife and divorce her. I don't want God to leave me. I don't want him to leave me. How many of you don't want him to leave you? Lord, stay with me. Don't let me lose that joy. Let me seek diligently. Let me search, God. Let me search. If I don't have the Holy Ghost, let me search. Brother John, if I got any ounce of prejudice in me. Somebody said, don't preach like that in here. You'll be surprised. The Bible said, if it was possible, they would have seen. You got preachers that preaching that prejudice. Y'all don't mind me preaching the truth. They're preaching for the mighty dollar. It ain't about people's soul. Wake up. And they could pay that car note. They ain't care about your soul. Let me tell you this morning. I love you people this morning. But we need to examine ourselves. I told you some years ago, I remember, I don't care about a flag. I don't care about the government. Say, take it down. They can fly it all they want. They have nothing to do with my soul. My flag had flown 2,000 years ago. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But Brother Andy, I remember some years ago, back in the 90s, when it was talking about taking down. Now I'm following the Holy Spirit, so that's in here, okay? All right? It's in here, Brother Andy. It's in here. And this holy message, church, is in here. Are you hearing me? I want you to look at your heart now. You better start finding that pearl. You better find it because the Lord is soon to come. And if he come, and you got anything in you, you're not going. But I remember, young man, this white young man on the job. Oh, man, I feel the Holy Spirit, brother. I feel the presence of the Lord. Young man on the job. He told me, you know what? We're going to fly that flag. Oh, my. Listen to preacher. Listen to black preacher. Got all this Holy Ghost, all this anointing. Anointed ones at the end time. He says, we're going to fly that flag. But see how you get slide right into politics? We're not into politics. We're not into the governments. We into Christ. But John, you know what I told that young man? Hey, amen. I said, let me tell you what, brother. I said, let me tell you something. I said, that flag coming down. Sometimes you wonder, do you still have a little bit in you? Huh? We come out of Egypt, but did you brought Egypt with you? Huh? Are y'all going to let me preach or what? So you need to search yourself because you got any kind of envy and strife in you. It's so easy for you to look at a prostitute and a homosexual, but you better be examining yourself. Huh? It's so easy to look at John, him and his wife having problems, but what about your home? Are y'all going to let me preach or what? It's so easy to watch a pastor and his wife, but what about you and your wife? It's so easy to correct somebody else's children, but what about your child? When you don't have children, you can correct somebody at your. But somebody told me, amen, when your children is little around your ankle, they're easier to handle. But when it starts getting big, they get around your heart. Are y'all going to let me preach or what? And I told the man, I said, look, brother, the flag is going down. And see, in construction, you get rugged. How many work in construction? You know how we are. We rugged man. Ain't, you know what I'm saying? You little and you just rugged. I said, the flag is coming down. He said, oh, no. And I said, let me tell you what. The flag is coming down. I said, let me tell you, furthermore, watch this now. Watch I get pulled into his kingdom. I said, furthermore, we're not riding on the back of the bus anymore. What I got to do with the kingdom of God? What I got to do with the rapture? Huh? We're talking about getting out of here, and I'm talking about a flag. We're talking about getting out of here, and you're talking about how much you invest in your new home. And volcano eruption, and government, and problems in this country, and nations, and war, and hatred, and killing, and bloodshed, drugs, prostitute, all these things in this nation. And look at people today. They come to church like it ain't nothing no more. The love of the joy. No more love, no more. Some people can't wait till they get out of church. If you preach over 35 minutes, they say you're preaching too long. But it's something, Brother Andy, they could go to a show. They could go to, they could watch a movie for hours. But when they come, what is it? Satan don't want you to hear the truth. Oh, my voice loud enough. I hope you hear me this morning. But I'm saying you better examine yourself. So I told that young man, I said, let me tell you something. I said, we're not riding on the back of the bus anymore. And I saw, I conquered him. I conquered that fella. I had his spirit. See, once you get a man's spirit, you got the man. Are you hearing me? And that's how the devil tried to get you, amen. Once he tried to get you down, he'll control you. But ain't no devil going to control me. I'm free to serve him. Somebody told me one time, that says, you better be careful where you're going. You hanging, oh my God, why is I preaching like this morning? I'm going to go do what my boss tell me to do. Somebody say, Brother Chisholm, you keep going around them white folk. Them white folks don't love you. I don't care. I don't care. It's not what you like me. It's what I present. I'm going to preach what I got to preach. And we're getting in that little car. And that man, we're going back to South Carolina. And when I go home, I can rest in peace. My Lord said, you told them what I told you to say. But then that young fellow looked at me. And I said, let me tell you what. I said, we're not riding on the back of the bus anymore. We can drink anywhere we want. We can walk. Oh, my. I wonder how you feel. I wonder you still feel in a certain way. Do y'all like this kind of preaching? Huh? I'm right in the Methodist church. 2.5 million come out. But only 2 went in. Oh, God. And Paul said, examine yourself and see whether you're in the faith. You better set yourself. Take yourself. Examine your own self. Look into the mirror of the world. Do I really have love? Do I really have? Would I treat the white child better than I treat the black child or the Hispanic? Oh, come on now. And you talking about going in the rapture. And you talking about the third pool. How are you going to talk about the third pool? And you got envy in your heart. You got malice in your heart. You got jealousy in your heart. And you talking about a rapture. What rapture? Oh, my God. What about Pearl Harbor? They got a warning that the Japs was coming. They took it lightly. We Americans. America will be great again. Somebody says, Barack Obama, boy, he messed things up. No, he didn't. The Bible said, if any evil been done in the city, has not the Lord God done it? God allowed Barack Obama to be in the chair, to open the door to fulfill scriptures. Homosexuality, a law been passed in this country. Same-sex marriage. And people just still going to church. You're still a little envy in the heart. A little malice in the heart. Husband and wife can't hardly get along. And church is just church. See, I'm not. Church is just not church. I want to be changed. Amen. Brother John, I want to change. I want to see God in my life. God help me. Don't let me just be a good preacher. There's going to be a lot of preachers in hell. Can y'all let me preach? I want to preach like an old preacher. There's going to be a lot of preachers in hell. There's going to be a lot of preacher wife in hell. Y'all don't like that kind of preaching? Huh? I'm going to tell you the truth. Huh? Oh, my God. Somebody said, get beside yourself. Somebody said, you're going to get in trouble, boy. You're going to get in trouble. Let me tell you what. I was in trouble almost 48, almost 50 years now I was in trouble. Man that's born of a woman was a few days full of trouble. We're in a troublesome time. What if God allowed me to be here this morning to tell you, you better examine yourself. And how do you examine yourself? Don't examine yourself by the preacher's wife. That ain't your absolute. Oh, my God. I'm going to examine myself by the pastor. Oh, Lord. That pastor is not your Absalom. Oh, I love Brother Chisholm. He's evangelist. Oh, he's a fireball. Yeah, I might be a fireball, but how am I living when I get home? Come on, y'all gonna let me preach a word. Everybody, the anointed ones at the end time. Oh, we love Brother Chisholm. How you know? How you know that I ain't got another woman on the side? Oh, my God, I'm coming down to earth. That's what you got now. It's a show. It's a show. It should never be a place where when you get on that piano, it should be God anoint these fingers. Every time you get up here to sing, you got to get to a place where you got to block everybody off. I know it's tough. I know it's tough. Some of the people look half asleep. Some mind way in Walmart. Their mind somewhere. You got to penetrate through these devils in these last days. Not people, but spirits. What spirit is? It's the spirit of Laodicea, coldness and indifference. The prophet of God said, guard yourself towards the last day spirit of Laodicea. Laodicea is what? Pentecostals. Denomination. And what has happened, people has allowed the denomination spirit to come right into the church to call the coldness. God knows I don't want the coldness to be in my heart. But when I told that young man, look, we're not riding on the back of the bus anymore. He looked at me. I said, you got any more to say? You think the preacher was going to fight? What do you think? I wasn't going to fist fight, but I'm going to put him in his place. I ain't nothing to play with. A message? A what? I thought you were supposed to pray for your enemy. But no, I'm going to put him in his place. I'm in the message. But is the message in you? Somebody said, my child, my son, I don't understand my son. My son, since he married this girl, he's just going haywire. I raised my boy. My boy was raised in this mess. I said, Mama, let me tell you, you might have raised your boy in the message, but is the message in him? That's the thing. Lord, do I have what it take? Do I have what it take? Our president today. God have him there. His name is Trump. Donald Trump. Too late, we already heard the trumpet. Huh? The trumpet has sound. And you say, well, which one you like the best? I'm not into politics. There ain't no president. Somebody said he messed the thing all up. President Bush messed. No, he didn't. God allowed that to happen. God allowed 9/11 to happen to turn this nation, to bring her to her knees. Oh, God. Lord, has there ever been a time? Let me get excited when I come to church. But as I began to tell that young man, I said, let me tell you what. I said, let me tell you what. We're gonna bring the flag down. What in the name of God has got to do with my salvation? The Bible said, neither there's salvation any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not about your money. Money gonna perish. People got money, they change their attitude. I thank God there's nothing going to change me. Nay, man, you say, how can you talk so bold? Because of the love of Christ. What about that woman when she searched the house? The prophet of God said she took a broom and she sweeped out in the crack and she began to look all up under the bed searching. This morning, in my closing, I'm not going to hold you long. I want you to think about this. We're in the second coming of the Lord and his corporate body. Now remember, he has come and he's coming. He's already here. He's in spirit form. He's in word form. And he's in the bride. But let me tell you what. Examine yourself and make sure that you got what it takes. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, say, Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says in that same verse, Jesus said, when a sinner comes back, how the heaven rejoices. Oh my, you ought to be happy this morning. You ought to be happy this morning. We was a sinner, but now we're saved by grace. Oh, you thank God that God gave you power to overcome the Lord. You know, I remember I went to a message church some years ago. Brother Andy, I just was preaching, amen. And a young man was sitting right in the seat behind. And he was just preaching, just amen to me. Preach, brother. And all of a sudden, I fell into the anointing. And when I fell into the anointing, I sat down in the front of him. And I turned around with the microphone. I said, brother, how long you been saved? He said, look at me. His eyes almost buzzed out his head. He said, about 3 years. And I said, you know, I was working on a job one time. A man said he had the Holy Ghost, but he was smoking cigarette. And when I said that, that guy almost passed out. I smelled cigarette on his breath. Let me tell you what. You got to say, go. God, help me to overcome that little stem. Just remember some years ago, preaching out of church, couple, sister played the music real well. You never would have thought, as she was playing the music, one of the leaders, when I looked to her, she gave me the right keys and could sing and could play. But it was having problems. Husband and wife been having problems. Husband and wife was right on the edge of their marriage. But you're looking at it, you can't never tell. And Brother John, I walk up to that couple. I said, slide over. He slid over. I said, brother, how long you been married? He said, about 3 years. I said, the devil don't care nothing about you and your ring. I said, do you hear me? And I walked away. And I said, what the devil wanted to do? He wanted to get your wife into the bedroom. I said, some men's coming by your house. They're trying to get your wife in the bed. She looked at me almost passed out. The next day they called me and told me, said, Brother Chisholm got a strong discernment. It's not Brother Chisholm. It's just Brother Chisholm getting out of the way. Amen. The gift is in the whole body. I hope your discernment is on now. Is that brother really preaching or he just saying things? Somebody said one time they prayed and said, Lord, we don't have so many false preachers coming through. Is he for real? I want you to ask God. And tonight you tell me what he told you. Sister said, she told her dad, said, Dad, said some, I didn't know she'd teach music. She said, some gentlemen came by my house and they act like they want music lesson. And she said, he almost persuaded me to get into bed. And I'm trying to tell you this morning, we're living in an hour and a time that we're living in. There's a strong deception that's in the land today. You better search yourself and you better search. If you lost one of them pearls, you better say, Lord, help me. Maybe you lost your joy. Maybe you don't have the joy like you used to. Maybe you used to come to church. You tried to get here 30 minutes early so you could get in prayer, so you could pray for the service. Now you may be just barely getting here. What went wrong? You did run well, but what didn't hinder? I didn't mean to go this way this morning, but I'm sorry. I want to tell you the truth. Someone said, you shouldn't preach like this in the message church. You might have done years ago. But let me tell you what, that devil is conjuring up so fast now. People sitting in church looking all nice and pretty. But people, amen, I don't want to just sit in church and look nice. I don't want me and my wife, amen, sitting in church and we walk on the outside and somebody said, now that's a real gentleman. And I'm taking my wife and walking by the hand and I walk to the door. I ain't did that in 35 years. I ain't going to start today. I'm not going to open the door for her and say, get in, honey. And she get in and she got to sit in real nice and we just putting on a show. I ain't did it in 35 years and I ain't about to do it. What I'm trying to say, I'm not going to put on a show when I come to church. I'm going to be who God made me. I'm not going to try to be a Christian. I am a Christian. How many thank God you're saved by the blood? How many thank God? Amen. There's no time to worry. If you worry, why are you praying? If you pray, then don't worry. Why are you worrying about a job? If God fed the ravens, he could feed you. We're at the end time. You ought to be happy. I lay in the bed sometimes. I woke up this morning. I walked out the motel about 5 o'clock this morning. And I kept looking around. I said, one of these days, amen, I'm going to be changed from mortal to immortality. The devil said, you got something. Every time the devil tell me I am, I said, you a liar, I ain't. Are y'all hearing me? When the devil tell me I can't, I said, you a liar, I can't. I said, I could do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Are you hearing me this morning? Anytime the devil shows me my path, I always tell the devil about his future. Are you hearing me? The devil ain't got nothing on me. Are you hearing me? I got more evidence on him in a little bit. Somebody say amen. Amen. My life been washed away by the blood. So I don't know what he's talking about. Somebody tell the devil. Say, I don't know what you're talking about. My heart is pure and I'm ready for the rapture. Oh, I'm going. I'll see you there. I'll be there. Just look for me. I'll be there too. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to reign with him 1,000 years. For it's the coming of the Lord. As I was saying about Pearl Harbor, it's been warning. And one of that night, the main guy that was, a man that was on duty wasn't there. They had another young man that was there. And he wasn't too familiar how to work that computer or whatever. And as he began to look, he saw some dark stream, a blimp going over the stream. He didn't know what it was. It was the Japs. Some of you know the story. Anybody ever been in the Pearl Harbor War? Huh? Well, you're close to it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But see, they didn't take it serious. The prophet of God said the women chased running and drinking and whoopee, having a good time. And you look at the church world today. Seems like sermons don't touch them no more. And somebody say, well, he's not really a good preacher. It's not the preacher. It's how much you want. The people, I've learned that just the other day. I don't care how much I study. If you don't want nothing. If my wife, I don't care how much I want another John or another Isaiah. If my wife don't want to take no seed, guess what? There ain't going to be no John. What I'm trying to say this morning, if you don't want it, God won't bring it. God is a gentleman. You got to want God. You got to be hungry and thirst for the righteousness. You got to say, Lord, I need an answer this morning. Am I saved or am I not? Am I going in the rapture? I'm going to tell you this morning, if you believe with all your heart and don't doubt, you're going in the rapture. I'm not going to let nothing slow me down in this hour. Oh, my God. But search. Some people search on Monday. Search on Tuesday. Search on Wednesday. Rest a couple of days they miss. On Sunday, they search again. Looking for the Bible. They don't know where that Bible's at. Where did I put my Bible? Lord, where is my Bible? Go outside. It's in the back of the car window. Where's my Bible? It's just where you left it when you came in the house. You didn't read it since. But I thank God. No one, the prophet God said, you should pray and read your Bible every day. Let me tell you, Church of the Living God, I love the Word of God. How are you going to be an overcomer? You got to study. You got to pray. You got to read your Bible every day. You got to fight with everything inside you. No matter how much you go to church, how well your name is engraved on the stone, winners are in the book. It'll never mean nothing to you until you are a witness of his resurrection of Jesus Christ. By the infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit, you are talking something else. You are taking somebody else's word. Well, Brother Branham, I know that Jesus is the Christ because the Bible says so. That's the Bible's right. But what do you know about it? See, it's an individual affair with every individual. If a person witnessed that the ever person must, in order to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is when the Spirit of a record with our, when His Spirit bears record with our spirit, that He cried, Abba Father. I'm trying to tell you. Brother Diggs told me he was at a church one time. And he was preaching, and everybody looks up to this sister. Long hair, long dress, look all holy and sanctified. For 13 years, she come up to the altar, and she began to cry. And Brother Diggs said, he asked her, I think he said, what is your problem? She said, for 13 years, I've been doing drugs. And you never would have thought that. So I'm trying to say this morning, look at yourself. God, do I really have the joy? Do I have my pastor joy? You know, the prophet of God said, some people get the pastor spirit. Huh? I don't want, as the Bible said to Brother Donnie last Sunday, I don't want my pastor spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to keep me. You can't put confidence in nothing but the Word. Everything's going to fail you. Sister, much as you love your husband, John's going to fail you. He don't mean to, but he's human. But my God, he can't lie. If God promised me, if I seek diligently for him with my whole heart, then I've found him. But let me tell you what, Church of the Living God, how do I find the Lord? Amen. I seek for God and I cry for God. I say, God, I want a feeling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want something inside of me. Can I be for real this morning? Preaching hard. But sometimes I get to a place. I remember some years ago, not long by last year, I think we was came up here. I might have told the story. And I finna close. My wife and I walk into the hotel. I was real tired when I got up here, about 11 o'clock check-in. And when I got in, and I was studying about the virtues, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, and patience, and all that and above. And when I walked in the motel, my wife began to talk. And I was so tired. My body was tired. And she kept talking. And I was saying to myself, I just wish you'd just be quiet. Y'all have been there? And she just was talking. I was trying to put the key in, and she just talking. I said to myself, woman, please be quiet. I know y'all don't do that up here, okay? Huh? Lord, she talking too much. We walked inside. I was trying to get her a hand. I kind of walked away, and seemed like she was still just talking. And I said to myself, woman, can you please? And she asked me something, and I kind of snapped off. I snapped off. Snap, cracker pop. Snapped off. And when I walk outside, the Holy Spirit said, nah, you know that ain't right. I said, huh? Who, me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. You know that ain't right. He said, what I did? You know what you did. Every man knows his own wickedness. You know what you did. You didn't talk to her right. I was like, oh, God, I'm walking down the hall with the Holy Spirit just turned me up. So you know you didn't talk to her right. When you first met her, you didn't talk like that. She could talk to you all night. You said that, uh-huh, yeah. I know you're tired. No, I'm not tired. And you're talking to her on the phone for hours. She talking to you. And now all y'all doing breathing. What are you doing? Oh, I just looking at the flowers on the wall. Yeah, my wall painted green. You just start on anything because you was in love. Yeah, what are you doing tomorrow? Well, I probably mowed the lawn. Yeah, I'm supposed to be feeding the horse. What I got to do? You just want to hear her talk. But look at it now. People get tired now. They get bored now. But the Holy Spirit said, you know that's wrong. You go back in there and you make things right. You know what I did? Yes, sir. I went back in there. I said, honey, I'm sorry the way I talk. Sometime I examine myself. I said, man, the prophet God said, if you still got them fly off temper, you just fly loose. He said, check yourself. Something ain't there. Oh, God. And the Spurnum, in the church age book, he said, you got them funny spirit. When you get around somebody, you feel funny. He said, check yourself. Oh, my. I was out of church one time, and the Holy Spirit dropped in there, and I got to talk about communion. You know, some people just put on a show. I'm not going to put on a show. No. God is too real to put on a show. I am who I am by the grace of God. We're going to heaven. I'm looking for him. You know what? He's already come. The shout has already went out. We waited on the dead in Christ. And you know what, Brother Andy? If people not in the spirit of the presence of the Lord, and when, see, people are going to think you're crazy. Y'all might as well get ready. If you're studying the message of the hour and you're seeking God, there's going to be a time you're going to tell somebody, and your mom has been dead for 30 years. My mom had gone now for 27 years. And I'll tell somebody, I just saw my mom. They'll laugh at me, Brother Andy. But you better make sure you see some loved ones. Because the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we that are alive and remain what? In the message. In Christ. shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I don't know about you, my brother. I don't know about you. But this morning, if you're dealing with anything, even if you visit here and you say, what is he talking about? He preaches a little different. I'm unused to that. But if you got any problem that you're dealing with, God is still God. I was at Brother Donnie last week. Young white brother came up. He, amen, 22 years old. And when I look at him, it was like looking at my natural brother. I want y'all to hear me now. Brother Brown is saying, oh, to help somebody, you got to get in their shoes. Why some preachers can't help the people? Because he can't get in their shoes. Why y'all hearing me? Your man came up. He said, Brother Chisholm, my wife is pregnant. She's home. She's having pains in her body. She's having kidney stone. And I was touched by his infirmity. I said, Brother, I already had two. So I know exactly what you're talking about. One thing, I'm not pregnant. I'm spiritually pregnant with the revealed word. But let me tell you what. He said, my wife going through a lot of pains in her body. Itch all in her body. I said, may the angel of the Lord that been with William Branham, the same angel of the Lord, may a cool breeze just blow over her. Amen. In the name of Jesus. I said, brother, go away rejoicing. He went away rejoicing on his way going home. When he got home, he said, honey, I want you to tell you something. She said, honey, I got a story to tell you. Just before you got home, she said, a cool breeze went over my stomach and everything stopped instantly. Let me tell you what, church of the living God, God ain't dead. I wish my mouth was big enough. I wish I could holler. God ain't dead. You know, when you tell a testimony like that, people look at you like, yeah, to me, that's the bride. That's what, see, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. I'm the word made flesh. This is a sign. The sign don't supposed to be following me. Or the sign don't supposed to be in front of me. Huh? That's the sign and the word. I'm following the sign. What's wrong with that picture? That ain't what the Bible said. The Bible said the signs shall follow them. Are you hearing me? You need the signs in your life. You need to tell the devil that Jesus Christ is alive. He's still a healer. I don't even care you got high blood. What else got to do with our maker? That's what he does. I don't care you got high blood. I don't care you got low blood. I don't care you hardly got no blood at all. God is still a God. God's still a healer. Old mother came up in line. She said, Brother Chisholm, she said, my hip joint is out of joint. I said, Mama, ain't nothing wrong with you. I said, just because you come up here, I said, Jesus Christ healed you. And she came back the next service and said, her hip joint got back in play. Let me tell you what, who did that? He's not dead in Jeffersonville. He's not dead in the manger, but he's right in your heart. You just got to believe. What's wrong with the church? Then he got enough faith now to heal a headache. Oh, my God. Y'all need to help me preach this morning. I'm saying, I'm trying to tell you this morning, we got to get enough rapture and faith to get out of here. I remember the time when I had a headache. I didn't know such things as a medicine cabinet. Before I get to the medicine cabinet, I took my head and said, in the name of Jesus. Brother Chisholm, use common sense. That's what he made the doctor for. That's what Jesus for, too. Yeah, God made the doctor. That's good. But you need to start trusting in Jesus. You need to start speaking to your doubts and telling your doubts they got to go. Oh, my, you want to see Jesus Christ in your life. How many love him this morning? I didn't mean to hold you that long. Oh, my God. But let me say one more thing. I'll let you be gone by 12:30. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is the same. But you got to get desperate for him. You got to get desperate. Man, when I come to church tonight, man, I want to hear the word. I want the fire to come fresh from the altar. I want my child to have the Holy Ghost. I want my wife to have the Holy Ghost. My wife, I was preaching out of church when 9 preachers came through. And I preached at the end. And I preached that it was wrong for a woman to cut her hair. Later came up to the altar. So I said, I ain't never heard that in my life. I said, what? I said, the Bible said that a woman's hair is her glory. She said, Brother Chisholm, I never heard that before. And sometimes I wonder, sometimes what we are talking about. But I'm going to tell you, God is still God. Do you love him this morning? I'm saying God's still a healer. I remember some years ago, oh, I'm on fire for the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm just getting started. I'm finna close. I'm just getting warmed up. Oh, I don't want to got to drive the forest, I guess. But right now I'm feeling just fine. Brother, I remember some years ago, my wife and I, we were sitting in the study. Amen. You said, that's not talking about the coming of the Lord. Oh, I ain't talking about the coming of the Lord. He's already here. You just got enough faith to believe that He is here. My wife and I was in my little study, and we was, amen, going through some things with some church. And sometimes the pressure of the church will call you to pray. Sometimes stuff goes wrong in the church. It'll call you to get on your knees. Sometimes your job failure will call you to get on your knees and seek God. Somebody say amen. I know a young brother, amen, wife, walked out of his life. He said now he began to know God more than he ever has tied his life. Sometimes God allowed things to happen for a purpose. Sitting in the study, my wife and I, all of a sudden we hear a racket in the bedroom. Jumped up. My three boys rushed out. My daughter, where's my daughter? She was trapped in the bedroom, up under the bed. And the bed fell and hit her in the top of the head and blood running down her face. And as I began to look at my daughter, the only thing I had thought about the Bible, how Jairus walked in the room, where that Jesus walked in the room with that dead child, amen. And Jesus told all the unbelievers to leave out. And all my kids standing at the door looking. I said, let me tell you what, if y'all don't believe, I said, stay out. I look at my daughter. I put my hand on her like the Bible said. I put my hand on her. I said, do you believe Jesus can heal you? Not your daddy. Your daddy can't heal you. There ain't no healing in your daddy. But do you believe that Jesus could heal you? She said, yes, yes. Blood running down her face. Her pulse just jumping. And I said, Jesus, heal you. And when I moved my hand, the blood stopped instantly. Let me tell you, God is a miraculous God. God's still a healer. What's wrong with the church this morning? They are going cold on God. But let me tell you what, this black brother going to preach with everything he got. I'm going to rip every devil how it is. If God called me, I'm going to rip the devil high. You say, he's talking mighty big. You might as well get ready to talk. Get ready, because the devil's coming at your door. You say, I ain't going to say amen to that. Nobody will know who I am. You're already here. Satan knows who you are. Let me tell you what. Oh, my God, I need your prayer this morning. I just want to tell you that he's real. He's here. He's here. He's right here, right now. You say, well, I don't want to get all emotion. But children, I'm not going to do all that sweat you're doing. That's your business. However you get him, get him. If you want to sweat and run down, that's your business. Only thing I'm trying to tell you this morning, get hold to God. I looked at my life and I said, Brother Chisholm. I looked into the mirror of the Word. I said, Brother Chisholm, look at yourself. And let me tell you what. When my Christ come back, and when that husband come back, and that wife ain't been faithful, what if that wife sit in that husband's lap and say, honey, I love you, but some other man been hugging her. Some other man been loving her. The prophet of God said he will scoot her out of his lap. Let me tell you what, church and living God, when the Lord Jesus Christ come back, he coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. Do you love him this morning? Do you love him with all your heart? Oh, my God. I have a maker. His name is Jesus. He's my Savior. If you want deliverance this morning, amen, you ought to come to the altar. You say, Brother Chisholm, we don't do that in here. Well, the altar is your heart. You don't have to come up here. You can accept him in your heart. You say, Brother Chisholm, I got some complexes in my heart. I'm dealing with an issue I can't get over. But I'm going to tell you today, you can tell the devil that he is a liar. I was on the job the other day. There's a gentleman on the job. I could feel his spirit. I didn't even want to work around him. I told my wife, uncle, I said, I don't want to work with him. He said, why? I said, I don't like his spirit. Our spirit, he got that very arrogant spirit. You ever seen people that's real arrogant? You can't tell them nothing. They're always better than you. You tell a story, they could tell it just a tad better. Huh? Are you hearing me? And I said, I don't even want to sit side. I don't want to work with him. So that particular day, I already told Perry, I said, brother, I don't want to work with that gentleman. So the boss man started giving out orders. You go here. You go in there. He looked at me. He said, He said, Isaiah, you go with him. I said, golly. So what the Lord is saying, I'm trying to get that out of you. I'm trying to get that. I'm going to put you with you, the person you really don't want to work. I'm going to show you, you're weak in that area. You need to walk. If Jesus could walk with Judah, you could walk with him. Oh, my. I promise you I'm going to quit. You love the Lord. Musician, when you come on up. Do you love him? Examine yourself. Examine yourself. The second coming of the Lord. Do you love him? Come on, let's give the Lord a round of applause. Do you appreciate him? Oh, God. Let's sing a little song in the morning when I rise. Just give me Jesus. How many say that this morning? Lord, when I rise, Lord, just give me Jesus. When I get up out of the bed, just give me Jesus. Oh, God. That's all I want. I want to take a rapture. 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 I got 5 more minutes. Let me just tell this. I want to take a rapture. Keep on playing. I say, Lord, I want to take a rapture. If there's anything in my heart, Lord, let me be examined. Just before my wife and I, a couple weeks ago, just before we went to Tennessee, my wife don't like cats. As long as they're on the outside, they're fine. If you got cats in your house, nothing against you. But I don't let you know, my wife don't like cats. Huh? And my wife told me, she said, Isaiah, there's a cat in the house. So when I came home, I found this big cat. Big cat. This cat, you got to go. I'm the ruler of this house. I pay taxes on this house. Matter of fact, I built this house, and you're going to leave. Well, but I got the big cat out the house. Didn't know the cat had a baby in the house. When you get one thing out, there's another problem. But you got to deal with it. But I told my wife, I boarded up everything. I said, the cat must have got in one, and my grand must have left the door open. So as I went to work, I told my wife, she says, Isaiah, she called me early in the morning. I knew something was wrong. She says, Isaiah, I want you to know there's a cat in the house. I said, oh, my God. Cat in the house. I'm tired. I drive we ride 2 hours and I come home. You mean to say I got to chase a cat? Sometimes you got to do things diligently. You got to get him out of there. If your wife don't want him in there, your husband, you got to get that thing out of there. Are you hearing me? And she going to nod you. She going to say, you got to get the cat. When you're tired, honey, you got to get the cat out of the house. I said, Glory, please. I said, you can't have that cat in the house. So when I got home, I was tired. Wore out. I put a board to this door. I block off this door. Got all these doors in the house. I said, I'm going to keep them out of my bedroom. I don't want them in my bedroom. I'm going to block them off. I blocked off this area. And I began to hit. Knock up under this chair. And all of a sudden, I saw this cat popped up. And that's how sin is sometimes. Sin know how to hide sometimes. Sometimes it pop up in church. And sometimes you need to deal with it. But no, you go on back home and just allow that cat to stay in the house. Are you with me? Well, as I began to chase the cat and I began to run through the house. Oh, that cat was running. It was all his life. And when he ran, hey man, I thought I got him out. He jumped over and he hid in a spot and I couldn't find him. I was tired. I told my wife, you just got to let him sit there. Just let him sit there, but I had to go to bed. And the next day, and that cat stayed in my house for a whole week or so. Brother John, it got so bad, the cat thought my house was a restroom. Why are you feeling me? Oh, I know it's a problem now. My daughter got up one morning, getting ready to go to work. She said, Dad, I saw the cat in the house. I said, where was the cat? Identify where he's at. Sometimes you need to know where the problem is at. Put your hand where it hurts at the most. My daughter said the cat was right on the table. I said, oh my God, not on my wife's table. And everywhere that cat go, my wife would get rid of things. Every tablecloth that he touched, my wife throws it away. I said, my God, after a while, I ain't going to have nothing in my house. Because everything he claiming, she throwing it away. I said, the cat got to go. What about you this morning? Maybe there's a cat in your house. You can hear him at night going meow. Maybe you got a problem. Maybe you're trying to get over something. You need to get the cat out of the house. Don't rest on it. Don't let him sit in there. Say the cat got to go. Maybe it's just lust of women. Maybe it's pornography. It's got to go out of the house. Are you hearing me? Huh? Maybe there's y'all hearing me? So I got home. It's almost getting ready to go down to Tennessee. I said, Lord, and you know what? The prayer of a wife. Brother Brown is talking about when a man come home, when he got that wife there. But something about my wife, when she prayed, seemed like heaven pays attention. My wife said, somehow,
God, you made my husband a head, and he got to get this cat out the house. All of a sudden, from nowhere, I don't stay out of work hardly for anything. I go to work with headaches and heartaches. I went to work that day, and all of a sudden, a stomach virus hit me. Out of nowhere. Got so weak that day. The next day, I ain't go to work. I asked my wife, I said, honey, I hate to stay out of work. She said, you be led of the Lord, however you want to do. I said, if I stay out of work, amen, I'm going to be losing about $500. But what money got to do with when you got the cat in your house? Huh? My wife says, the choice is up to yours. I know she didn't mind me making another dollar because that's a new dress, but she got something in her house that's claiming everything. Satan is taking your joy. Can I use the cat taking your joy, your peace? You had a peace of mind. Now you let everything worry you. Grandbabies, a husband, a job. You got to get the cat out of the house. You got to find some peace again. Are y'all with me? Lord, hear my wife. God called me to stay home. My wife went to work. I said, you know what? That day, my wife moved things around. But I got a lot of things down in the den. I moved this out. I moved that. I moved the heavy dresser. You might have said that was too heavy. No, the cat is in here and the cat got to go out. Some sin is too strong, but you got to go in fast and pray and you got to move it. So I began to move the dresser. I moved the mattress. I moved this. And I searched diligently till I could see the baseboard. Now we're going to find the cat. So I walked through my house. And there's a place with a little chimney thing that I built. And I left a small hole there. I said, that's my problem. I'm not sure, but I believe in that open hole is the cat. It may not sound much to you. So I told my daughter, I said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not sure, but I believe the cat is in that hole. And you, sometimes you say, you know what? What caused me to fly off the handle so much? What caused me to do that? It might be in that little hole. So I told my daughter, I said, stand by. This time I block out all the doors. He had but one way to get out. It's the way he come in. And sometimes you riding along and you got yourself trapped in a situation and you just sitting there spinning and you just study going down. The preachers can't help you. The best thing you can do, put it in reverse and back up. That's what you got to do. The cat ain't got no but one way to go in. He got a hole. He got to come out of the hole. So what I did was I took something and I told my daughter, I was sweet to look. Didn't know, realize my daughter was videoing. And I stuck something down in the hole. And I thought it just hit real hard. And that cat saw it right there. And that's how the devil is. You can hit all you want. Come out, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Satan said, I'm not going nowhere. I'm not going nowhere. Until you got hidden things in your life. You got to get up. I'm not going nowhere. But that particular time, I stuck that object in that hole so hard. All of a sudden, I saw that head popped up. I said, here he go. Now I got the enemy. And when I hit that cat one time, that cat jumped up and ran through the house. Oh, my, and I chased behind him. I said, I got him on the loose now. And he ran in my kitchen. I said, oh, my God. Everything he's touching, he's claiming. And he reached for my wife's stove. I'm not about to buy a stove. The devil tried to take my joy. Oh, no, you're not going to take my joy. He tried to get my peace that passes all understanding. No, you're not going to take my peace. My meekness, my kindness. And when that cat reached to touch my stove, I took the broom handle. He was about 6 inches away. He was about to touch it. And I knocked him away. I said, you'll never claim that one. And when I grabbed that old cat and I picked him up and I said, I got him out. I said, I got the cat out. And let me tell you, church, when I opened the door, and I opened the door, oh, thank God, the joy. I took that cat, and when I threw him, he was already had his hand ready, said, I'm out of here. As soon as his hand hit the ground, and that's the way you got to do. You got to say, devil, you got to get out of my life. You got to take that devil and throw him out the house and watch him cock back, ready to run. When I took that cat and threw him outside, only thing I could saw were the back of his legs. He was trying to get out of the city. And that's the way you got to tell the devil. Satan, let me tell you what. You might not want to leave out of my house, but I'm going to get you out. And you know how you get him out? You don't have to get a broom, Hannah. You don't have to get a mop. Just get on your knees. Get on your knees. And get sincere with God. Get sincere with God. Say, Lord, I got a problem. I fly out to Hannah with my mom. I don't even talk right to my dad anymore. Get on your knees and pray. Help me sing. In the morning, when I rise. In the morning. In the morning. Oh, dear. One more time, give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus.
All this world, but give me Jesus. When I am alone. Well, when I am alone, yes, when I alone, oh, when I am alone, well, give me Jesus, well, give me Jesus. I'm in prayer. Well, when I am in prayer, oh, when I am in prayer, yes, when I am in prayer, well, give me Jesus. Me, Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. One more time, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Well, may I be like. Well, and I. change my heart, oh God. We'll make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Well, may I be like you. Brother Keith, if you can just keep playing that softly. I don't ever normally do this, but I just feel led to share a little story with you. You know, Brother Chisholm was talking about racism, and you know, you can't say that in the message. You know, that doesn't happen. As many of you know, I was raised in the message, and my dad was a pastor. And we moved here from Canada, but when I was a little boy, we lived for a year in Tennessee, where my dad was helping a church out there. And it was a small church, and we were meeting in a family's home. And my dad was witnessing to a black family, and they came to church, and he baptized them. Everybody else in the church was white. My dad baptized them. Service was over. And the man that owned the house, message believer, deacon in the church, came up to my dad and he said, "Brother, those were some really nice people you brought to church today, but this is the South, and I'd appreciate if you never brought them in my home again." We have to make sure that we change everything inside of us. I was proud of my dad. That was the last time we ever had service ever in that home again. But we have to make sure, just because of the way that we are brought up, when the message comes, when Jesus comes into our heart, He changes us completely. You know, I often hear, I have a lot of Hispanics that work for me in my company. And I hear often people say, they're horrible people, and you know, they're illegals, and we shouldn't be having them, and they shouldn't be in our country. We got to be careful, folks. What are we inside? Are we believers? Are we really have the Spirit of Christ? That everything inside of us is that we love one another? That each soul is worth 10,000 worlds? Or are we letting our bias that we grew up with rule us? I enjoyed that. And I hope if there is somebody here that needed to hear that today, that God touches our hearts. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Lord Jesus, our Heavenly Father, Father, Lord, I know that that sermon spoke to me so directly, Father. Lord, am I making sure that I'm getting the cat out of my house, Father? Do I let it run around and find a little hole and hide there, Father? Or am I doing everything I can, Lord, to make sure that I'm ready for when you come back, Lord? Help us, Lord Jesus, that we don't let the service, Father, that coming and spending time with you, spending time with our brothers and sisters, Father, become common to us, Father, and that we let the things of this world, our jobs, our financial situations, Father, become more important than realizing, Lord, why we are here. And why we are here, Father, is to be ready, Lord, for you to come back and get us. Lord, we ask that you'll be with us, Lord Jesus. Help to change our hearts, Father. That's our prayer, Lord. Lord, we ask that you'll be with service. Bless our speaker this evening, Father. Lord, we just ask our Brother Chisholm, Lord, give him a special blessing, Lord. Bless his family for making the sacrifice to come here, Father. We really appreciate them all, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing that again and you're dismissed. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Where may I be? time. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Will me I be like you? You are the potter. Will and I am the clay. Mold me and make me. Lord, this is what I pray. Change my heart, oh. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Will may I be like you. I cast all my cares upon and I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And anytime I don't